Hi, everybody. Father Alex here. I just wanted to do this Godcast and YouTube video and podcast to encourage people who have got any aspirations to write a book or to write a script or to write poetry. Because, you know, I've been very fortunate that in the last 18 months or so, I had my book, Our Daily Bread From Argos to the Altar, published by a fabulous publisher called Harper North, and I just thought I'd just talk a little bit and share a few things that might encourage you to keep going to the point of being a published author. I want to also reach out to people who might have written years ago and thought, do you know what? I wish I'd have pursued that. I wish I'd have kept going, because that is a bit of my own personal story to being published author. So let me just take you back. Where did it start? Well, it started, oh, well, I can actually pinpoint when I used to write was when my son was born 25 years ago. I was a big fan of Sue Townsend. I'm sure many of you will remember Sue Townsend, who wrote the very funny Adrian Mole Diaries, and also wrote a book called The Queen and I, which I really enjoyed. And I absolutely loved those stories. I was a young kid. I was similar age to when they were 13, going on 14, whatever it was. And I used to roar laughing just reading those books. And as somebody who's not an avid reader, I found it a real way into enjoying books. So anyway, the years roll by. My son comes along, and when my son came along, I was still reading the recent releases of Sue Townsend and Adrian Mole, keeping up to date with what was going on. And then I had this idea to see if I could write, because obviously Sue Townsend writes from a female perspective of a young male person. I was intrigued to see if I could write from a male position about a young teenage girl. And I wrote this diary of a girl I created called Shelley Shuttleworth, and it followed her. And I was writing this while working, and we just had our young son. So I was up quite early in the mornings, and I would have my baby in my arms, and I would be tapping away. And this was in the back in the days of floppy disk. And one day the whole computer crashed on me, and I lost about 50,000 words of the book of Shelley Shuttleworth. And I was really absolutely gutted, because, you know, back in those days, I had no guarantees. I had no knowledge whether I could have it published or not. And what I remember of it, which is very little, that it was quite funny and it was quite sweet. And so it fell by the wayside. I didn't do any writing at all after that. But then, oh, I don't know, maybe I suppose this was around the time of Phoenix Nights. I was really getting keen on writing comedy, and I was actually doing some stand-up comedy. And what I have here, if you're watching on YouTube, it is this old briefcase, which has got some of my old scripts in that I wrote. And one of the things I wrote was this thing here. This is a book, sorry, this is a spoof documentary I wrote called Joker Teller. And there it's the rewrite. And this was just a number of things. I was writing quite a lot, mainly comedy, but I had this idea to write about Britain's longest serving d-d-d. And in this case, Joker Teller was Britain's longest serving car park attendant. And it is a full first draft, first episode draft. And Joe is a guy who is about to start his final summer season in a pitch and pot hut in based in Burnley. And it was following him on his final year working there, and it's full of funny little stories and stuff. And so I had that, and I was sending it off to numerous people. I bought the book of publishers and agents and everything you could possibly think of. And I'd sent off, I don't know, maybe 20 copies of the scripts to different people, and didn't really have much optimism. I'd read all the kind of warning signs about what you should try, what you shouldn't try. And so I waited a few weeks and weeks went by. And then mostly I didn't get any replies. I got a few replies from production companies who generally said, "Oh, we like your writing. It's very funny. It's very northern. It's a bit Phoenix Nights. It's not for us." And nobody came back and said, "We want to make an episode. We want to do a pilot or anything like that." Which, if you are a comic writer, there are writers far greater known than I am, comics with careers behind them who have submitted scripts numerous times and get used to the idea of rejection. So that's the first thing I would say is, if you get rejected, that does not mean your work or your writing is not any good. It's just it's not for a certain group or genre or publisher or whatever. So anyway, as well as that, I was writing stand-up comedy, and I've got some of my kind of set lists I did in here on kind of plastic to remind me of the gag I was going to tell. And when I was looking at that, I can't even remember what the gag was. It's that long ago. But I enjoyed writing comedy. I loved it. Then what happened, just out of sheer chance or optimism, I sent some gags to a comedian who was actually in Phoenix Nights. And again, not thinking anything would happen. But then what happened was about 3 months later, I got a reply from this guy. Who was very well known, is very well known from Phoenix Nights. He said, I'd like to use some of your material in my set. How much do you want for your material?" And I actually had no idea how much a joke is worth. In fact, to this day, I don't know how much a joke is worth. But anyway, to cut long story short, I exchanged the stand-up that I'd written for him to critique and proofread my first episode, and I was really delighted by his kindness to do that, and he did it properly. It came back, and it was lots of remarks, things I liked, things he didn't like, and I had the pleasure of actually going to see him perform some of the stuff that I'd written at the Lowry in Salford, which was just a brilliant experience. But the rejection kind of wound me down a little bit, and so I stopped writing. I would write occasional poetry. If we jump forward, I don't know, 15, maybe 20 years to more recent times, I was in this BBC documentary that got extraordinary viewing figures and responses. And after that, I got a contact from somebody who approached me and said, "My name is Rebecca. I am writing a book for Stacey Dooley. Would you contribute a chapter about mental health?" And that's what I did. I helped help Rebecca construct a chapter about mental health and some of the people that I had met. And just in conversation, I'd said to her, "Rebecca, I'd love to write a book. I think there's a book in me. I've got something to say." And she said, "Well, I'll tell you what, go for it. Go for it. I'd be happy to help, but I'm really busy, so I can't, but you write some stuff." And so at that point, I set about writing my book. I'd been left a little bit of money by my grandma, and my intention was to write my book and maybe self-publish. And I'll come back to that in a moment, the idea of self-publishing and the pros and cons of that. So I wrote some of this material. I wrote a couple of chapters of a book that I was given a working title to 36 consecutive Wednesdays. That's what my book was going to be called in my head, and that was because I was a frequent truant at school and actually had 36 consecutive Wednesdays off. So it was just a tenuous link to a bit of a memoir that I wanted to write. So I sent some of this to Rebecca, who very kindly had a little look, and she said, "It's good. I haven't got the time." But she was a wonderful encouragement to me to have a go, to try. But her advice was for me was to try and get an agent that kind of would get an understanding of what I was trying to say and how I was trying to write. And so with that is what I did. I sent out, oh, I don't know, maybe 40 or 50 letters and drafts and a synopsis of what I was wanting to do. And nothing was really coming back. A couple came back. One was from a publisher that I'd found on Google, who said, "Yeah, we love this book. It's fabulous. We'll happily publish it for you, with a starting cost of £6,000." And I have got this thing in my head about paying for writing to be yourself paying for writing to be published, because it's a bit like when somebody asks for a free book. You know, I think there's something worthy about the time and effort and patience and thoughtfulness and skill to write a book, which again I'll come on to in a minute, that you don't give it away. And I don't necessarily think you should pay for the privilege if your book is a good book. But I understand, you know, I thought, well, you know, if I have to do that, that's what I will. And then what happened was lots of people were, again, sending letters back saying, not for me. It's just, thank you for your time and trouble and effort for sending it to me. And, you know, I have to say, I've become quite a resilient person in my life. I've experienced rejection on numerous levels, whether it's being an author or a priest or a football referee or seeking promotion within Argos. You know, I've usually had to take a couple of steps back before I move forward. So that would be another thing that I would say to you. If you want to write a book, you have got to be resilient. You've got to thicken your skin and stick it out in the hope that the right opportunity and chance to publish comes along. So anyway, again, the weeks went by, and I kept in touch with Rebecca, and a couple of agents had expressed an interest. That Rebecca was so genuine and generous. She said, never heard of these people. Keep trying, keep trying. And then I had an email from a wonderful agent who is now my literary agent, a lady called Jane Moore, who got in touch and said, thank you for sending me your manuscript. I'd like to have a chat with you, if you'd like to have a chat with me. And of course, I was delighted that anybody would be shown an interest enough to have a conversation. So I had a very interesting discussion with Jane. She was is as I really value now, is very honest, very straight talking. And she said, Alex, I like your book. It's got some funny bits in it, but I think, you know, here we go, is the but. I think it needs some different direction, but I think if you want to work with me, then I think we can possibly produce a book. And also, I'm an individual that has dyslexia, and at times it can be quite debilitating for me. An example of that is I can write just one sentence or two sentences, and there could be three or four mistakes in that, and I just don't see it. And sometimes the way I write is, even if you put it through a spell check, it can be a word that I've written is the right word, but it's not the right word that I mean to use in the writing. And Jane said, I think you would benefit from working with an experienced writer, a ghost writer, somebody who could help you. And, you know, put the phone down. And I was a little bit apprehensive about that, because, you know, you kind of think, well, if somebody else does it with me or for me, then it's not my book. But I also want to say to people, this is the next thing I want to say, is that be honest with your limitations about what you can achieve and what you can do. And if you do that and that opportunity is presented to you, do not just dismiss it out of hand. You might want to go, do you know what? It's not for me, but listen to what's being said. And Jane was brilliant. She said, I've got somebody in mind who I think you might like and who might be able to tell your story. I need to go and have a conversation with her. And that was that. And then again, we got to be also another key thing about writing books and being published is patience. So I waited and waited, and then the email dropped that Jane had spoken to this lady who's now a friend and is a wonderful writer, a lady called Catherine Kemp. Said, Catherine is happy to have a conversation with you. And this was kind of, this was all going on over Zoom. None of this was in person. Met with Catherine, and we got each other quite quickly, I think. We got each other's sense of humor. We got each other's pace of speed that we wanted to go at. And Jane's then subsequently back said Catherine would like to work with you. We didn't have a working title particularly at that point, but we needed to get down to work. Jane, and this is the strength and one of the benefits, I think, of having an experienced agent. Lots of people will submit work, and you can submit work without having to seek an agent. But this is just from my experience. Jane knew what was needed, and she knew what was expected, and she knew the time frames about that. So she just basically said, "You need to crack on. Don't worry about writing the book. You don't need to write the book. Let's see if we can put together two or three chapters together and see if we can get them into the hands of publishers." And that's another, this is the next key tip for you. You do not have to write your book from beginning to end. If you think you do, you're wrong. You don't have to. You can, and sometimes if you do that, I think what happens is you write in haste, you rush. And so the book maybe then is not as good as it could be if you think, well, I've got to just do this book finished and then I can submit it, you know. And so you don't have to do it. So we submitted. Catherine and I would meet on Zoom early mornings for 2 or 3 hours. And she'd just say, write down everything you think about, write it down, send it to me. And then we would Zoom and we would pick apart what I was thinking and what I wanted to say. And Catherine would then go away and kind of bring that all together in a way that was just extraordinary. So when we've got once we've got our three chapters together, and once you get your work together, you've got to get it into people's hands. You really have. And that's where we handed that over to Jane. And Jane has a very honest, as I said, way of working. She said, right, I'm going to start with the top 10 publishers, and then we'll work our way backwards from there. And Jane set up this extraordinary spreadsheet, sorry, with all the publishers that it was going to. And again, there begins the waiting game, and waited and waited and waited. Nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened. And then all of a sudden, just by chance, two publishers popped up on showing an interest. I'll only say the name of the publisher that I am with now, because I don't want to compromise anybody else. Or I was two major publishers were interested. One of them was Harper North. And so from there, I had interest from Harper North and the other publisher. And then I had the joy and privilege of listening to the two publishers pitch to me about why I should choose them. And in the end, I chose Harper North, and it was probably because they were from the North and wanted to hear the voice of Northern voices and Northern writers. And from there, a deal was agreed and a period of time was agreed. They wanted the book very quickly, actually. They wanted the book within, I think it was 6 months. And normally, if you get a book deal, the other thing I would say to you is, you know, you would normally get the deal, and then the book would be at least 12 months in the making. Mine was quite a unique position where it was 6 months. And again, worked very, very hard with Catherine, almost daily basis through the midweek, fitting in around schedules and times and illnesses and all sorts of things. But we got there. unfortunately, HarperCollins North really liked what was being presented, and so the book came out. But I really just want to encourage you, because I was the person who never thought my book would ever get published. I was the person that thought I didn't have the skill set. I was the person that thought I didn't have the story. I was the person that thought I didn't have the literacy to publish a book. And I have to say, being a now a published author with the help of my literary agent and with Catherine and Harper North, it's been a wonderful, wonderful experience. You know, you are in the hands of wonderful people who've got a real passion for books and storytelling, and it's just been wonderful. So there's a little bit about my story, but I'm just going to kind of wrap this all up by giving you some what I would say are my tips. So one is resilience. Never give up. If you've got a story to tell, get it out of your head, get it down on the computer, on paper, or whatever way you need to do it. Two, you don't need to write the whole thing. Two, construct two or three chapters, frame it how the story is going to come, you know, get that synopsis together. You need to get a literary agent or a publisher interested. So keep it concise and precise. Let them know where the story is going. Leave them wanting to think, I need to know more about this. I need to learn more about the characters or whatever. Thirdly, is it will change your life in many ways, but don't expect it to enable you to retire. You see all the best-selling books in WH Smith's and Waterstones and all these places. You have to sell a lot of books to make a lot of money. You must be doing it for the passion of the storytelling before anything else. And if you do that, I think it's a really good tip to take is the storytelling. If the storytelling is good, it will lead to good interest. It will lead to a good publisher. It will lead to a good book deal. I also want to encourage you to think about what your social media presence might be. If you've got a strong social media presence, then that's great. If you haven't, then I think it's probably good advice to create one, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or Twitter. I'm on most social platforms. I'm not really on Instagram, but I'm on Twitter, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Facebook, and you know, I'm no superstar, but you know, there are thousands of people who are now following me, and that is good, because it means there's a chance they might be interested in something that you produce, whether it's written or spoken or whatever. I also want you to not get despondent when people will inevitably say it's not for me. Like I said earlier, go back, send it to somebody else, try again, keep getting it out there, keep pushing it, believe in it. I'd say to you, get people to critique it, get somebody that's not going to just tell you it's wonderful. Good friends. I interviewed Jeffrey Archer for the Godcast, you know, and he said a good publisher will come back and tell you the bits that are rubbish. So it's really useful to be able to receive good constructive feedback. I would also encourage you to think about time frames. When is it going to be released? You know, a lot of publishers like to release in spring and winter, you know, for the holiday markets and the Christmas market, which is obviously key. And that's worthwhile to speak. So if a literary agent is interested in something you produce, ask them what they're going to do for you. What are you going to do for my book? How are you going to help me get it in the hands of a good publisher? And if you get it in the hands of a good publisher, it's reasonable to ask publishers what they're going to do, how they're going to market it. Are you going to be their main author for that period? You know, how many other authors have they got on their books? If there's 30 authors and they're all releasing at the same time, you will be in a pot of authors that will get so much time given to them. I was very blessed with my book. I was given access to numerous wonderful platforms, a BBC radio, BBC television, independent radio stations, The Big Issue, Premier Christian Radio. It was fabulous. It was great. And that is the other thing I want to say is whatever you do, enjoy it, because it is a wonderful, wonderful experience. And it's one that you only might get the one opportunity. Nobody's come back and said, can we have your second book? But same time, you know, the dust, I still feel, hasn't settled on this book, as people keep contacting me and saying how much they enjoy it or they love it, and how they would like to see more. But that's in many ways, that's out of my hands. You know, ultimately your publishers need to sell books, and if they're running a loss, or if your book isn't a particularly good seller, it's unlikely they'll come back and want more unless you can be extremely convincing. The other thing I would say is that sometimes books can be slow burners. You know, this book, this paper, this is the paperback version of Our Daily Bread. It's been out since last summer, and I keep an eye on it, and it moves up and down the chart. Some weeks are better than others. Some weeks are terrible. Some weeks you think, gosh, people have actually been buying my book this week. So there's lots of pros and cons, but whatever you do, have a go. Whatever age you are, have a go. However young you are, have a go. Whatever the subject matter, have a go. However weird you think your story is, have a go. And keep pushing. But be patient. You know, my literary agent, Jane, she was telling me she gets around 100 submissions a week. And, you know, there is a cost of living crisis going on. So publishers will be very selective about what they do and what they say. You know, and if they've got three detective stories on the go, ready for publication, you might have written a brilliant novel, but they might just not have space for it at that time. So I can only keep saying this, can't I, that if you get rejected, it doesn't mean your book's no good. It just means it's just not the right fit for the publisher at that time. So, yeah, I think I've probably talked enough. I hope that helps. It might not have. You might have thought, oh, this is boring, but that's just my experience of publishing. If you ever want to reach out and ask for any advice, just message me on X or email me. My details are out there. But I wish you well, and hope that you have the opportunity, as I have, to tell your story. And I'm forever grateful to the people at Harper North, to Catherine Kemp, and to my agent, Jane Moore. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And catch up soon on the Godcast. But for now, God bless and goodbye.